We are thankful for your presence here this evening. If you would, take your Bibles and turn to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, we're involved in a study of the book of Proverbs, and the study we're having tonight kind of goes along hand in hand with our study that we had this morning in regard to worldliness. We talked about the one who is a talebearer or a gossiper or things of that nature. And we have gone into a detailed study of the tongue recently in the book of James. But in studying through the book of Proverbs, we just wanted to look at some of the things that this book specifically teaches. Proverbs is a wonderful book in regard to how we should conduct ourselves. It's a book that is very worth our reading and our consideration oftentimes in our life. As Christians, we need to give careful attention to our speech. We don't want to be careless, as we sometimes are, if we're not careful in regard to our speech. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6, in our text it says, "Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one." We should always strive to speak that which edifies, that which can build others up. In Ephesians 4:29, it says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." So it's better to receive words that are words that encourage you, that edify you in that regard. And so those are the words that we need to learn how to speak. We should strive to abstain from filthy speech, but instead use our tongue in such a way that we recognize God's blessings, we recognize His goodness unto us, and we are thankful for that. In Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verse 4, the scriptures state, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. In other words, don't use your tongue and your speech in this way, but rather be thankful. So we need to learn to be thankful and be able to express that thanks. The purpose of this lesson is just to study the revealed wisdom of God that He's given to us from the book of Proverbs concerning our speech. Of course, the choice is always up to us in regard to our speech. Our speech can be constructive, it can be that which builds others up, or it can be destructive in nature. So we need to understand that, and I think we all do. I think we all understand that our speech can be positive or it can be negative. But sometimes in regard to having the proper self-control is maybe where we have the problem, and using it in a way that's pleasing to God. We want to consider some negative aspects of speech that are talked about in the book of Proverbs first. We're going to look first of all at the negative aspect of lying. Lying is destructive in nature. One thing I know that as parents, we all try to reiterate and instill in our children is the importance of telling the truth, the importance of teaching them the truth, and the importance of them being able to tell the truth. And when we think about that, that's very important, and God's Word tells us that it's important because we can see the consequences in the very beginning of the Bible of believing a lie. Turn to Genesis chapter 3, Genesis chapter 3, and look at verse 4. And here we have the encounter of the serpent with Eve. And they are having a discussion, and the woman had said to the serpent that in verse 2, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die." So the consequences of believing something that is a lie, it was severe, wasn't it? They were cast out of the garden. Sin entered the world. We want to emphasize the importance of being truthful. Being truthful is not always easy. It's not always easy, but it's always the right thing to do, to be truthful. It's not always the easiest thing to do, but it's always the right thing to do. And I think that's what we try to instill in our children, to get them to understand these principles. If you would turn over to Proverbs, the 12th chapter, in Proverbs chapter 12, and look at verse 22, and you might just want to put a mark in Proverbs, because we're going to be going there a lot more often than we're going to be going anywhere else in the scriptures, but have a mark where you can get to that pretty easily. In Proverbs 12 and verse 22, it contrasts lying and telling the truth. There's a contrast. It says, "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord," versus, "But those who deal truthfully are his delight." So there's the contrast. Lying lips are something that are an abomination to God, something that is evil in nature. And we noted this morning in our lesson, in the seven things that God hates that are an abomination to him, in verse 17, a proud look, a lying tongue. A lying tongue is number two. So we understand that lying lips are something that God abhors. That's what it's an abomination to him. He detests it. But the truth, is something that he delights in, is something that is pleasing to him. And those who deal truthfully, those who speak the truth, those who teach the truth, those who contend for the truth are his delight. Look over at Proverbs, the 10th chapter, Proverbs chapter 10, and once again the wise man says, whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. Now, we talked about gossip this morning, and slander and things of that nature, being a talebearer, being a backbiter. Lying lips are used to hide hatred, and what they do is they disguise one's true feelings. Have you ever been in the presence of someone, and if the boss wasn't around, they were just cutting the boss down right and left? Then all of a sudden the boss walks in, and what happens to their attitude and their speech? Oh, everything changes then, see? So we need to realize that lying lips are used sometimes to hide things and to disguise one's true feelings. I'd rather you be truthful with me and be blunt than beat around the bush or try to sugarcoat something and be lying to me. You know, just come out and say it. Now, we should strive to say things, as we looked at Colossians 4 and verse 6, we should strive to say things where our speech is, as it were, seasoned with salt, where it's acceptable. But I'd rather you be blunt and be truthful than to say it, you know, in flowery ways and everything like that, and be telling a lie. Just be truthful. That's the important thing. If we look in Proverbs, the 12th chapter, and in Proverbs chapter 12, at verse 19, another negative aspect of and destructive use of our speech and not always being truthful is stated there in Proverbs 12 and verse 19. It says, "The truthful lip shall be established for ever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Lying proves to be short-lived in the fact that sooner or later, what always comes to the surface? The truth. Sooner or later, the truth comes to the surface. So you will be found out to be a liar. A lying tongue is but for a moment. Sometimes we might feel like, well, the only way out of this situation is to tell a lie. Well, it's just going to get you out of that situation for just a moment. It's not going to solve the situation. It's not going to resolve the problem. It's not going to take care of the situation. So we need to understand and have the proper attitude in that regard. In Proverbs, the 21st chapter, look there at verse 6. It says, getting treasure by lying tongue is the fleeting fantasies of those who seek death. Now, fleeting fantasies are how long? Permanent? They're just for a moment, right? Fleeting fantasies are just for a moment. If you just look recently at what has happened about those who obtained their wealth based on lies, the example of Bernie Madoff, that he had this scheme and he was selling things and being deceitful to people. They were investing thinking that all this money was being made for them, but these fleeting fantasies are just for a moment. Eventually, they will be found out. And even if someone could get away with something like that their entire time on earth, God knows what we're doing. We're not escaping the judgment of God or the all-seeing, all-knowing presence of God in our lives. So fleeting fantasies are for just a moment. These things that are obtained in this way, they will not endure. They will not endure permanently. Well, another negative aspect of speech, and one that we dwelt on quite a while this morning, is that of gossip. Go to Proverbs, the 11th chapter, Proverbs chapter 11, and let's look there at verse 13, Proverbs 11 and verse 13. A talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. You know, and we have to ask ourselves in regard to our speech, do we have a faithful spirit? Can we be entrusted to be taken into someone's confidence? Can we be trusted? Or do we have an unfaithful spirit? Are we going to reveal things? The one who has a faithful spirit has the ability to conceal a matter. And if you have a person who is a friend whom you can really trust, and you can go to them and you can speak to them about a matter, and you know it won't go any further, that is a wonderful thing to have, someone whom you trust in that way. And really, when we think of our lives as Christians, we should all have the ability to trust one another to that degree, because we should be those who would speak the truth, who would be truthful in regard to our interactions with one another. Go to Proverbs, the 16th chapter, Proverbs chapter 16, and look at verses 27 and 28. It says, an ungodly man digs up evil, and it is on his lips like a burning fire, and a perverse man sows strife, and a whisper separates the best of friends. So what we see here is gossip creates strife. Gossip is not constructive, it's destructive. It destroys friendships. And gossip is a characteristic of ungodly people. An ungodly man, it says, digs up evil, and it is on his lips like a burning fire. In other words, he can't wait to pass that on to someone else. And we can see from Proverbs 11 and verse 9 that gossip is the action of one who is a hypocrite. In Proverbs, the 11th chapter, in verse 9, it says, the hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor. And that's speaking specifically there in context of gossip, of being a talebearer, of being one who is a backbiter. But through knowledge, the righteous will be delivered. Our speech, as we were talking about this morning, our speech needs to be different than the speech and the way that the world uses their speech. If our speech isn't different from the world, if the world gossips and we gossip and the world spreads rumors and we spread rumors, then we're guilty of hypocrisy because we're acting just like the world. And we are to be distinctly different from the world. We are to be walking in the light. We're to be following the truth. We are to have the proper love and concern for our neighbor. And as we were talking about this morning, there's always this connection between gossip and having the proper love for your neighbor. If you have the proper love for your neighbor, then you wouldn't engage in that. So what's the greatest commandment? To love the Lord our God. And what's the second? To love our neighbor as ourself. So we can see the importance of this. We don't want to have the action of a hypocrite in regard to our speech because we spread a gossip. Another negative aspect of speech that we want to consider in our lesson this evening is that of cursing. That's something that's very common today. Even in public places, there was a time when it was just forbidden or taboo to say a curse word in front of a lady. Now today you have women who are saying curse words. And it's just something that's common. You can hardly walk through the mall in just going shopping and not hear language, profane language, being uttered by people in their way of communicating with each other every day. So it's very common today. It's common even in public places. And there is no consideration of others. No consideration by young people of older people or showing respect for them or of things of that nature. Well, this no respect and this no honor type of society that we live in today might be acceptable to the world. But it is not acceptable to God. And that's what we need to understand. Go to Proverbs, the 20th chapter. Proverbs 20. And notice what the wise man says there in Proverbs 20 and verse 20. It says, whoever curses his father or mother, his lamp will be put out in deep darkness. Now, that sounds serious, doesn't it? That their lamp will be put out in deep darkness. Well, what really is God saying? How serious is this matter? Well, to make it just as plain as can be, God kind of spells it out for us in the old law, in Leviticus, the 20th chapter, that we see in that day and time under the law of Moses, it was a capital offense to curse your father or your mother. But you know, people just view today taking the Lord's name in vain, there's nothing wrong with that. They, you know, they just flippantly do that, or how they address their parents with no honor or with no respect, that there is no problem in that. And here in Leviticus, the 20th chapter, it says, for everyone who curses his father or mother shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father or mother. His blood shall be upon him. You think it's okay with God to have disrespect toward your parents, toward your father, or toward your mother? are to have this type of attitude, to use this type of language? No, it's not. You know what the problem is? We don't teach our children that that's not proper. When I was raised, you were taught to say, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, please, thank you, you're welcome. If an adult walked in that was older than you, you got up out of your seat and they sat down. There were certain things that were taught, not necessarily from the scripture itself, but with the principles from the scripture of how we honor people, how we show honor to our parents, how we show honor to the hoary head, to the older people around us. So these principles, we see how God views this, but today people don't think one thing about their speech in this regard. It's the furthest thing from their mind. And if you have a if you don't like the way they're speaking, then you're the one that has the problem. They don't have the problem. You're the one that has the problem. James warns us of the dangers. If you'll go back over to James chapter 3, which we looked at this scripture quite often when we're having a series of lessons on the tongue. But in James chapter 3 and verses 2 through 5, it says, "For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce wind, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles." So James is warning us that there's great danger in our tongue if we don't learn to exercise self-control. If we don't learn to give the proper respect to our parents, why are we to learn to honor our father and mother? "That it may be well with thee, and thy days may be long on the earth." In other words, we learn first to honor our parents, because if we can't learn to honor our parents whom we see, how are we going to ever learn to honor God whom we cannot see? We have to be able to make the transition. So that's why it is so important that we learn this lesson in regard to honoring our parents and having the proper attitude toward them, and the danger if we don't learn to exercise this type of self-control in regard to our tongue. Well, those are some of the negative things that the book of Proverbs discusses, along with some other scriptures, about our speech. Now, let's look at the positive aspect of our speech that the book of Proverbs speaks of. The words, constructive use of our speech. How should we use our tongue? Well, listen to what the wise man says. Turn to Proverbs 10. Proverbs 10. And let's look at first at verse 11. It says, "The mouth of a righteous is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked." The mouth of the righteous is a well of life. You might not know what a well is, but when I was raised in the country, we did not have running water at some point in time. We had a well, and the well was our water supply. And when he talks about that in regard to this scripture, when he says that the mouth of the righteous is a well of life, a well was that which provided water, and water provides what? Life. You can't live without water. If you wanted to get in trouble with my grandmother, you stir up the water in the well. There was a certain way that you let the bucket down, and you got the bucket full of water, and you brought it up, and it didn't stir up the well. But, you know, if you just let go of the handle, and it went down and splashed and stirred up the well. The water was so important to us that if you did that, then you were going to be in trouble. Well, that's the idea here in regard to the mouth of a righteous. It gives life. And what are we talking about in regard to life? We talked about this morning the ability to share the gospel, the ability to share the good news, the ability to share that message, that soul-saving message that can provide a spiritual life to others. So the words of the righteous are a well of life and are likened to choice silver. Look over in verses 20 and 21 of that same chapter. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of wisdom. So we can see how important good words are, how important the truth is, how important it is to speak those things that reflect righteousness, that reflect faithfulness, that reflect a love for God and a love for our fellow man. Look in Proverbs, the 16th chapter, Proverbs 16, and look at verse 24. Proverbs 16 and verse 24. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. Good words are sweet. Other words, they're easy to hear. Easy to hear. Pleasant words are like honeycomb. A honeycomb is something that's it's produced and it's sweet. Very, very sweet to the taste. But good words are like that. They are easy for us to hear. In Proverbs the 12th chapter, in verse 25, says, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. Comforting words can lift the spirit. A good word can make the heart glad. This is stands in direct opposition to nagging, negativity, contention. So here the Bible says a good word makes glad. It's easier to receive a good word than it is to constantly receive criticism. And the book of Proverbs addresses this fact that wives, I'm going to tell you, it's better to speak a good word to your husband than to nag. And Scripture can verify, can show us that. Go to Proverbs 21 and look at verse 9. It says, better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a contentious woman. And in verse 19, better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. And then in Proverbs 27 and verse 15, it says a continual dripping on a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. So what's better? Well, I'll just nag him until he finally does it. Well, he's probably not going to do it. That's not going to work. The Scripture says that's not going to work. It's better to say a good word to encourage someone. They're a lot more likely to respond positively than they are to negativity. Think about you. What do you respond better to? Think about that. Timely words are another positive aspect of our speech and using it in a positive way. Timely words. Have you ever had a time that you needed someone to say something and they said just the right words at just the right time? That you needed it and they said just the right thing at just the right time? Well, the Scripture describes words like that in Proverbs 25 and verse 11. And it says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Other words, They're beneficial to us. They are precious to us. Well-timed words. They are something that we appreciate. In Proverbs the 15th chapter, in verse 28, it says, "The heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil." In other words, it's better to pause, to think before you speak. It's kind of like what James instructs us in the New Testament in James 1:19, that we need to be swift to hear and slow to speak. And the righteous person will consider how is the best way to answer. Another positive aspect in regard to our speech is that our words need to be controlled. Use wisdom and discretion in how we speak. And sometimes this is difficult when our emotions are involved, right? It's not always easy. To do that. But in Proverbs 15, it says, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of the fool pours forth foolishness." And sometimes, that's a difficult thing. And sometimes that's a difficult thing for us men, to think of how to say something and to say it in the proper way, and to use our words, use discretion. Sometimes we're just kind of straightforward and blunt about things. But we need to think about how we can give the answer in such a way that doesn't stir up the problem, and how it can make the problem go away or be resolved because we've used some self-discipline and self-control when it comes to speaking the words that come out of our mouth. Look in Proverbs 21 and look at verse 23. "Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from trouble." If we control, if we have control of our speech, then we can keep our soul from trouble. If we don't control our speech, even as we can see back in the Old Testament, is God going to be pleased with that? No, he's not. So we need to watch what we say. We need to be careful. We need to be able to exercise self-discipline. And we're not always successful in doing that. But that's what we need to be striving to do. In Proverbs the 10th chapter, in verse 19, the scripture says, "In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise." Wisdom is clearly seen in one who controls his words and restrains his lips. Think about what you're going to say before you say it. If you're in a situation where you're upset, you know, just maybe before addressing a child who's you've had some problems with in regard to not following some instructions in regard to your household. But before you address them, if you're upset about something, cool down a little bit. Then go and speak to them. And that will help us in being able to get the proper message across in the proper way. So wisdom can be seen if we learn to control our words and restrain our lips, then that will help us to a great degree. We need to exercise control over both the quantity and the quality of our words. "In a multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise." We need to be careful. We need to exercise self-control. Well, these are just some of the things. This subject is addressed throughout the scriptures. And it's kind of like the subject of pride. It's addressed throughout the scriptures. Why are certain subjects addressed quite often? Because we have a problem with them. That's why. Because we have a problem with them. So the Bible speaks to these things in regard to our speech. And we need to listen to the wise man and to the things that we can receive an instruction from him. Does our speech edify? Do we ever try to encourage people who are struggling to be more faithful? Or do we just, tear them down? Well, they're not being faithful, and we just have a negative attitude toward them instead of trying to give them the words to actually encourage them. So we have a choice in all these things. Our speech is either constructive or it's destructive. It's either positive or it's negative, and it's really our choice. It's really our choice in regard to that. Hopefully, we all can appreciate the importance and wisdom of speaking properly and of trying to use our tongues in such a way that we give glory and honor to God. God is speaking to us through His Word, isn't He? He does. He speaks to us through His Word. The question is, are we listening? That's why in a multitude of words sin is not lacking, because if you're trying to talk all the time, then it prohibits you from doing what? Listening. We need to learn to listen to God. God speaking to us. The most important words that we'll ever hear are those that are spoken to us by God. Those words that are spoken to us by God. Those spoken specifically to us by God through His Son Jesus. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. He came preaching the gospel, the good news. We don't have to die in our sin. We don't have to have sin separate us from God. We can enjoy the benefit of, instead of the wages of sin, we can enjoy the gift of God, which is eternal life. The choice is up to us. The choice is up to us. Hopefully, these lessons in Proverbs will help us to reflect on our lives. I'm sure we can all improve in these areas. Some maybe we have a problem with more than others. But hopefully these things help us. Help us to draw near to God. Help us to examine ourselves to see if we're in the faith. And help us to walk in the light. We're going to sing a song of invitation, encouragement. If you need to respond to the gospel in any way, make that need known while we stand, while we sing.